Voters head to the polls in Ohio Tuesday for a special election that could swing a longtime Republican congressional district over to the Democrats. A fierce race both parties are watching as a forecast for November. The race between Republican Troy Balderson and Democrat Danny O'Connor polling so tight, Vice President Mike Pence and even the highest-ranking Republican, U.S. President Donald Trump, turned out to stir up support.
Another bombshell from Tesla CEO Elon Musk Tuesday, coming, of course, on Twitter. Musk tweeting, "I'm considering taking Tesla private at $420. Funding secured." The announcement, which would mean Tesla would offer to buy back all publicly traded shares at that price, started a stampede into the stock as buyers rushed in for what they hoped would be an easy ride to that $420 mark. NASDAQ briefly halted trading. At the end of the session, Tesla soared by about 11%, closing at nearly $380.
Stan Kroenke is gunning for full ownership of Arsenal in a deal that values the UK soccer club at $2.3 billion. The American billionaire currently owns 67% of Arsenal and says he's received an irrevocable undertaking from Russian rival Alisher Usmanov to sell his 30% stake. Kroenke told the London Stock Exchange that once he's bought out any remaining independent shareholders, he plans to take the club off the LSE altogether.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's August 8th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. We're glad you're along with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day on the show today. Jennifer Jolly is here, the founder of Techish.com. She is a consumer tech expert, and we're happy that she's going to spend the entire hour with us today. She's got some cool back-to-school gadgets and gizmos. She's even found a couple of cool websites that you'll want to stay tuned for. And Jennifer will come in and join us in just a few seconds. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat to negative open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up just a point. NASDAQ futures are down about 3 points. S&P futures are lower as well. Around the globe this morning, markets generally mixed in Europe, with the FTSE in London higher by about 0.5%, but the DAX and the CAC are lower. And in Asia, markets also generally mixed, with the Nikkei going to end the day down just a fraction, and the Hang Seng up about a third, the Shanghai off more than a percent, almost a percent and a quarter, and oil this morning is trading at $69.31 a barrel. So you heard there in the opening montage yesterday, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said he was considering leading a buyout of the electric car maker in a stunning move that would end the Maverick Company's 8-year history trading on the stock market. The eccentric Musk dropped his bombshell on his Twitter account, which he used as a platform for pranks in the past, vitriol, and now for a proposal to pull off one of the biggest buyouts in U.S. history. And that is, if it is really a serious attempt to do that. That remains unclear this morning. There's also some current concern that perhaps Musk violated some laws yesterday. If this is not a serious bid, it is possible that short sellers could sue him on the grounds that it was an artificial and fraudulent manipulation of the stock. Yesterday, the shares were trading as much as 8% higher before the announcement. The shares had to be halted in trading. And then after they returned, they were up about 11%. So there was a lot of money changing hands yesterday in relation to Tesla. We'll watch that one very closely. Amazon, known for bringing items to shoppers, is adding a curbside pickup option at Whole Foods for Prime members. Shoppers will be able to order groceries on the Prime Now app and park in reserved spaces for workers to bring their items to cars. Curbside grocery pickup is also a favorite now at Walmart, Kroger, and other grocery stores. The Whole Foods service will start in Sacramento, California, and Virginia Beach, Virginia, before expanding to more cities later this year. And Missouri voters voted yesterday, to reject a right-to-work law that would have banned mandatory union fees in workplace contracts. The vote marked a major victory for unions, which poured millions of dollars into a campaign to defeat what was known as Proposition A in Missouri. Jennifer Jolly is here this morning with all kinds of cool tech items, back-to-school items, and even a few websites. Jennifer is the founder of Techish.com, and a consumer journalist for the New York Times and USA Today. Jennifer, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you so much for having me back.
You have brought your goodie bag again, or should I say your goodie luggage again?
Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff. Are we focusing on back to school?
We are. It just seems perfect for this time of year. Parents everywhere are stressing out over spending about $1,000 per student this year on getting them geared up and teched out for back to school.
Yeah. One of the big tech items that everybody freaks out about is paying, what, $700 for an iPad?
Right.
And I bet you've found some pretty cheaper experiences than that.
I have. Sitting right in front of me right now, I have a Huawei MediaPad T3. There's a 7-inch, an 8-inch, and a 10-inch. These have what you would expect: the high-def display, expandable memory, front and back cameras, smart app access, and parental content control. They're durable. Battery life is epic. But here's the real headline. $74 for the 7-inch.
Wait, you said $74?
$74.
Wow.
$124 for the 8-inch, $144 for the 10-inch. I found them both, one on Amazon, one on Walmart. It's a fantastic way to start your students off without breaking the bank.
People will say, whenever you see a price like that, it's too good to be true. Is there something that these don't have that the others do? Why do we see it so cheap?
They're Android. They're kind of stripped down to the basics. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-megapixel front and back camera, so you don't have all the fancy bells and whistles that your high-end iPad will have. But that's the difference between $1,000 and $75. Right. These will last couple years, 2 to 4 years on average. They won't last forever, but they're durable. They connect quickly to Wi-Fi. I really like the parental controls, Android's built-in parental controls. And it's perfect for reading textbooks, helping study. You know, not a ton of robust features, but you're not looking for that at $75.
What about the parental controls do you like about this? Why do you single that out?
Parents always ask me if, you know, hey, how can I get on and monitor what my kids are doing online? How can I make sure that they're studying? This just has built-in ways for parents to say, okay, no YouTube, no Instagram, no Snapchat. You can build that in. You can also build in with a kill switch. So you basically knocks them off the device after a certain amount of time.
Nice. Let's move from that to phones. I see you have quite a few Nokia phones there in front of you. Old Nokia phones. Well, new old Nokia phones.
I am in love with the Nokia 3310. This is 3G. These are the old candy bar phones, and they come in an array of cute little colors. They're about the size of a candy bar, fit right in the palm of your hand. They're pared down. So what this phone does is makes phone calls. You can text. This is what most of us started out with in terms of phones 10 years ago or so. So they're basically retro. They're back. You get what you want and need. They have apps for Facebook and Twitter and the old classic snake game. There's also a camera on this as well. But this is great if you have, say, a 12-year-old. They need their first phone to check in with you, mm-hmm. but you don't want them to have, you know, unlimited access to the internet at all times. So it's a fantastic price, $60 for this little guy. So again, great deal.
And it's adults, too, who are going back to those increasingly, people who don't want to be connected and addicted to their smartphones anymore.
So I'm doing that. I am popping my SIM card out of my iPhone during the weekend, putting it in one of these, and then I can get my phone calls forwarded. I can mm-hmm. get all the messages that I want and need. I can send and receive texts.
How about that?
But I don't go onto my phone to make a phone call and 2 hours later have just finished watching a bunch of cat videos on YouTube. You know, it kind of saves me from myself. The other really sweet thing about this device, 27 days of standby time. So the battery lasts a month.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not using it too much. And then you can graduate from one of these to something like the Nokia 3.1. This is a great kind of first smartphone for a kid, $160, $159. It's got those Android parental controls that I love, plus a really rugged body, all-day battery life, like for real. They don't just say that. It really does. Stay charged all day. Fast charging and strong camera capabilities. So you can get your kids into a smartphone, your older kids, your teens, again, for a price point that's really sweet compared to the thousands of bucks or several hundred bucks that you pay for a lot of the higher-end phones.
Back to that other Nokia. If I remember right, they always have cool ringtones, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. And Snake. I mean, who doesn't want to play the classic Snake game?
So let's say you don't want to do any of those options and you want something, you still want to communicate with your kids. Those, what are those little squares? They're little, I don't know, how would you describe what those look like? They look like little stopwatches almost, little flat panels.
Kind of like what the coach had for the stopwatch around the track when you were back in grade school or middle school. These are called relays. These are 4G LTE connected screenless cell phones, basically. So they're like walkie-talkies. The kids push a button in the middle and you say, "Mom, I'm lost, help." And then Mom can hear that on an app on her smartphone. Mom can also see where the child is on a map on the smartphone. Mom can answer back on the smartphone, or you can use them like walkie-talkies. And people always say, well, what's the distance? You know, how far can you go with that? It's exactly like a cell phone anywhere. So
cool.
I can be in Washington State and I can see what my child at the playground here in Chicago.
I like how you summoned all of your children at once. So you put out a message on your smartphone and you got all three of the kids all at once.
Yeah. Okay, kids, it's time for dinner. And somebody said, oh, my child would hang that on a tree. Well, if it's hanging on a tree, you know, and then go off somewhere else. Well, if I can't get in touch with them, you know, that's what I really like. A lot of the trackers out today, you can find them. You can see geographically where they are on a map, and that's great. But what if they need to get in touch with you or you need to get in touch with them? That's what's really missing out of a lot of these. So this is the Relay. This starts at $99 plus $7 a month for the monthly data charge.
Let's graduate to college. one of the cool things that I saw on the list of gadgets was this handheld panic button. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that is basically a connected connected device that you can. And I didn't actually bring it with me. I'm trying to describe it. Didn't bring it along with me, so I don't have it in front of me right now. But there's a couple out there. One's by Ripple, where you push a little button, and it alerts everybody that you've set it up to alert. So maybe your mom, your best friend, your cousin, and it says, hey, so-and-so is here geographically and needs some help. So it kind of alerts everybody to help, that you're, you know, in a location, you need some help. But again, a lot of those don't have that voice capability. So I'm going back to this. I'm going back to this little guy for a lot of that. The Relay, even for my own daughter who's 17, you know, she doesn't want to run. She's a runner. She's 17. She doesn't want to run with her smartphone because you can't get to your smartphone if you're being attacked a lot of times. Yeah. You know how you're going to unlock the lock screen. You're going to make a call. So these little panic button-like devices are a good alternative to that. And Ripple is one of them that I know of off the top of my head.
One of the other cool items you brought in was the Oculus headset.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've actually been able to put on an Oculus. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's really, really cool. What's so cool about the Oculus Go is for just under $200 on Amazon, you can get a completely untethered virtual reality experience. So you put the headset over your head, grab this little handheld controller that's just a little bit larger than your average house key or set of car keys, and you can be just lost in other worlds. So, and lots of content because it's Oculus, which is owned by Facebook, tons of content. So you're looking at Netflix videos. You can log in via Google and watch a Netflix show. And watching it in virtual reality, everywhere you turn, you know, it's just like being there in real life. It's really great. Most people are using it for gaming, but I like it for some of the educational capabilities. You can go inside a human body, or you can go explore the solar system, and it's really like you're there.
And $200 just seems like a price point. I remember when the Oculus first came out, we were talking like thousands of dollars, weren't we? I mean,
all
more than a thousand?
All kinds of things are ringing on me this morning. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, you were looking at over $1,000 and another $1,000 for the computer that you needed to run it all. So it's great to be able to get this high-end virtual reality without being tethered. That's that untethered experience. So you really can kind of stand inside of a room and move around. And it's a really great experience. And, you know, it's funny. I'll show my mom this stuff, you know, and she'll say, oh, why would I ever need that? And she'll put it on and, oh, my gosh, you know, it's great. It's a really neat experience.
You were talking earlier about being able to monitor where your kids are at and what they're doing online. I know you've been writing about this too, about how companies like Facebook are trying to give parents more tools in this arena. What do you like that you've tried? Where is that headed?
Well, Facebook just launched a new suite of tools to help you figure out how much time you're spending on their apps, including Facebook and Instagram. Set an alert if you've gone over your allotted amount of time. Say you don't want to spend more than 30 minutes a day on Instagram. It'll ping you and say, okay, you're at your 30-minute limit. You know, time to go do something else for a while. Go outside. And then it also gives you a new way to limit notifications. And what I like about that, my 17-year-old daughter and I got a chance to beta test that before it launched. And what was really cool about it is that you got a chance to really see exactly how much time every single day you're on these apps. And it's pretty eye-opening. Whether it's more or less, my daughter spends about an hour a day on Instagram. That's actually less than I thought. I give her grief all the time about that. And that's pretty much the only thing she does that is passive versus, you know, studying or, you know, you getting on the internet to type something in email. So I'm okay with that hour a day. The Pediatrics Association just put new guidelines out today that said no more than 2 hours of recreational screen time every day. So it's eye-opening. I wish that they had gone one step further and given you a kill button. So if you go over your allotted time, you're locked out of that app for the day. But I talked to them about that. And they said, you know, really, we want people to be more mindful to use our apps for the reason they were created, which is to connect and be inspiring and be able to log on. And studies show that when you're able, teens especially, when you're able to get on these apps and use them to connect with people and things that are inspiring to you and that you're passionate about, that it's actually good for you. So as long as you're not doing that for more than 2 hours a day, it's good.
2 hours, the recommended, what do you think it is for most people? I mean, you think it's like we're talking about 4, 6, or 8 hours?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's different. You know, what you're doing for school, doing your homework, doing your emails, research, that's different than this idea of this sort of passive recreational use. Kids are on three apps. They're on YouTube, they're on Instagram, and they're on Snapchat. And I think most kids are somewhere between 2 to 4 hours, most of the teens I know. And it's really important to, as a parent, to not just say no tech. That's actually been shown to have adverse effects, the no tech or the no social media. But follow the guidelines. So be 13 years old or over to have your first Instagram account. That's the rules. Your daughter will start bugging you about it at 11. Stand firm. And then also studies show you really need to be engaged with them. So know about Instagram. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be scared. Learn about it as much as you can and then dive in right alongside of them.
One of the big challenges students have as they get back into the groove is finding that study groove. You found a website that actually helps people study and even earn credits for college.
Yeah, and this is so cool because I've actually used it for a couple of things. But my daughter is 17. She's studying to take the ACT. And there's a site called study.com. There's a subscription price that starts at about $39, $40. It's really a safety net for students of all ages. I mean, jokes about all that new math aside. It became impossible for me to help my daughter with math starting about the fifth grade. So study.com breaks down every subject from middle school through college into short 5-minute video sessions. And then what's really cool about it is that they have a college accelerator program that helps you earn low-cost college credit online at about 1/10 the cost of traditional college courses. They have about 150 of the most popular courses. And that's transferable to 1,500 colleges and universities.
Wow.
So for a fraction of the cost, you can get a ton of those requirements, your general education requirements, out of the way.
I feel like that's going to be the future of education, that mode right there.
When you're looking at colleges being, 4 years costing $200,000, what else are you going to do?
Right.
Because if you're my stepson, 4 years through NYU, we ended up with over $100,000 of student loans. It was absolutely incredible.
You mentioned student loans. That's a good segue into the other website that you found about helping manage some of that money.
Yeah, I love when I stumble upon something that's like, oh, that's such a good idea, and it's new to me. Hundreds of gadgets and apps come through our gadget lab every single month, and this one's called Credible.com. So Credible is kind of like Expedia, but for private student loans. So federal student loans will give you your best rate, but there's always money that you have to come up with after that. So when you look for private student loans, how do you know if it's a good deal? How do you know what's a ripoff? How do you know what's going to save you the most money? So a man who had gone through this and was, just incredulous about it, developed this company. And these private student loans can really help students fill in the gap between those federal student loan limits and then what it costs to attend a college or university. And some of these statistics are absolutely staggering. We now have in America $1.5 trillion of U.S. student loan debt, $1.5 trillion, and more than 44.2 million Americans owe a significant amount of college debt. So if we can take advantage of these private loans and wipe that out, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, I don't know how that's not an economic crisis yet with those kinds of numbers.
I think it is. But that's a whole other story. Yeah, it's having a daughter looking at going to college, I mean, how do you balance? That's such a fine balance between, it'd be nice to retire someday, but got to pay for college somehow. So
we've been talking about keeping the kids safe, studying, paying off debt. Is there anything fun that you've come up with? What are the fun geeky toys?
Well, this little Boosted Board Mini is awfully fun. So Boosted Board is an electric skateboard. It has a handheld controller. This one is a little shorter than some of their long boards. It can go up to 17 miles an hour, goes about 7 miles on one charge, and you guys experience firsthand. You step on this thing, and if you're not careful with that little handheld remote, you will fly off. It's kind of the closest thing that we have to a hoverboard. Mm-hmm. It doesn't actually hover off the ground, but at 17 miles an hour, you definitely feel like you're flying.
It's got a pretty good motor on it. Bennett DeWakeknight, our producer, was on it. It went across the room pretty quickly. Are people using these out in the real world?
Absolutely. Go to any college campus today and you see them everywhere. These plus the electric scooters and those Urbi, those kind of hybrid electric scooter, electric bikes. I'm also a big fan of the electric bikes. I can't believe how much I'm really enjoying those.
And is this your lunch in the lunchbox in front of you, or is that...
I'm using this retro lunchbox that looks like it's an old tape deck.
That's nice.
Just to cart my gadgets
That's
around,
cool.
Because you've got to keep coming up with different things. And then there's one more. I'm going across the room. This Ember mug is one of my new favorite things. You've probably seen these electric mugs. You charge them up, and then they'll keep your... hot things hot to an exact temperature, your cold things cold. This is just kind of a fun one, too. But for parents, I mean, back to school should be something fun for parents, too. And this time last year, I know I brought in the wine purse.
Right.
And that was pretty great. So this year, I'm classing it up a little bit with a coffee mug that is
the wine purse, by the way, has gotten quite a bit of mileage since you brought it in last year.
Oh, isn't that...
It comes up with your name. That's very cool.
Hello, Jen, it says. And then if I had... I don't have any hot coffee in it now, but I could turn it up, turn it down. It also pairs with an app on your smartphone. So I know. Bennett just rolled his eyes like, oh, what will they think of next? The perfect temperature coffee.
So I could be in one room and the mug could be in another room and I could warm it up so that it's warm when I get there.
Yeah, because why not have that as a part of your life, right?
Yeah. Jennifer, when we, you know, you talked earlier about some of the expense of some of this. What is your best advice as parents are going out doing some of the shopping for this stuff? How can they not get carried away and save a little money and time?
Do your homework before you leave the house. I've got a lot of advice on my website at techish.com. There are deal news. There's a site called Deal News that shows you all kinds of hidden deals right now. There are so many great back-to-school deals. If you're able to show a student ID, that kind of thing, just really take advantage of those, because we're getting into that time of year where we're coming up to the holidays. A lot of stores would really like to get rid of as much of this electronic everything that they possibly can. So take advantage of that. Constantly ask for a better deal. Don't go for the expensive cords or charging cords or cables. That's usually a ripoff. Don't go for the extended warranties, mm-hmm. also a ripoff. Just go into it having done a little bit of homework yourself.
Jennifer, it's always good seeing you. Great seeing you, as a matter of fact. And thanks for bringing all the toys and being with us.
Yes, so much fun. Thank you both.
Jennifer Jolly, the founder of Techish.com, a consumer tech journalist as well at USA Today and at New York Times. Make sure you follow her online at Jennifer Jolly on Twitter. There's a link there to her Facebook page as well. And make sure you head over to Techish.com for more back-to-school tips and news about gadgets and gizmos.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, it looks like we're going to have a flat opening on Wall Street a little bit later on. Dow futures are up just 6 points. NASDAQ futures are negative. S&P futures are flat. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The headlines in the market activity yesterday: soybean futures firmed after a weekly government survey lowered condition ratings for the U.S. crop. Wheat retreated after closing at a three-year high on Monday, and corn eased along with the wheat crop, although losses were limited by good demand and tightening global supplies. So for the day, the September wheat contract down 6.25 cents, September corn unchanged, December corn down 0.5 cent, but August soybeans up 11.5 and November beans also up 11.5. The livestock headline: cattle futures fell yesterday, feeder cattle down about 2% on pressure from technical selling. And at the end of the day, the August cattle contract down 35 cents, but the August feeder cattle contract was down $2.05 a hundredweight, and the October lean hog contract down 22 cents a hundredweight. And I want to take a moment this morning, Steve, to say special thanks to the members of the American Agricultural Editors Association, because here in Scottsdale, Arizona, at their convention last night, they bestowed on me their honor, the Lifetime Distinguished Service Award. I'm grateful for that, and I want to say thanks to all the members of the American Ag Editors Group holding their convention in Scottsdale. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion, and congratulations. We have a couple more stories before we leave you this morning. Children's advocates want the American Psychological Association, which is based here in Chicago, to condemn the tech industry's practice of using persuasive psychological techniques to keep kids glued to their screens. The advocates, citing research that links excessive use of social media and video games with depression and academic troubles, say it's unethical for psychologists to be involved in tactics that risk harming kids' well-being. Skeptics say the research is inconclusive, and they note that psychologists have been involved in other industries, marketing and advertising, for decades. Cybersecurity and intelligence experts say the U.S. is bracing for cyber attacks Iran could launch in retaliation for the reimposition of sanctions this week by President Trump. Concern over cyber attacks from Iran has been rising since May, when Trump pulled out of the 2015 nuclear deal. Experts say the threat went up yesterday after Washington reimposed those economic sanctions on Iran. And speaking of those sanctions, the premier of Italy says he has recently asked President Trump to share intelligence about Iran's alleged nuclear programs that triggered fresh U.S. sanctions. The premier, Giuseppe Conte, told reporters in Rome today that Italy would coordinate the initiatives with European Union partners in the aftermath of these new sanctions. He said Italy will be hypersensitive to repercussions on Italian businesses and noted that there are already signs of negative impact on his country. Italy traditionally has been a major trading partner with Iran. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Wednesday, August the 8th. Another big day for earnings. 21st Century Fox, CVS, New York Times, and Roku earnings are out today. On the calendar, we'll get mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The EIA Petroleum Status Report is due out. And Fed Speaker Tom Barkin will be out there as well, talking about monetary policy. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, August the 8th.